So after completing understanding or a consumer insights or say like consumer as a this thing, their behavior, we move on to understand the motivation, the role that motivation plays in the life of a target consumer, which marketer also should know. So motivation is what? The inner drive that reflects goal-directed action. I need to move from one point to the other point because I work in a place which is away from my home. So I need a vehicle. So vehicle can be cycle, can be Luna, moped, can be scooter, can be car. No, I want Mercedes-Benz. Okay, to dream there is nothing wrong, but do I have a motivation? Am I working for it? So motivation comes out when a drive emerges. Okay, so that's it is an unsatisfied need. Now, when you have an unsatisfied need, which is making it convert into a want, and that to acquire that want, which is not fulfilled, you strive some, you do something to acquire it. It's a consumer behavioral context. Therefore, the results are only derived when need is converted into want for which you currently have no resource, so you are driven for it and you try to get the resource. And when you have the resource, you try to spend on it. I was dreaming for my car for almost 5 decade, and then I got my car. So, but there was a motivation. So that's what it's a drive to satisfy the need, wants, both psychological and physiological. So when you get a car, your physical needs are also met and psychological needs are also met. You can say that, I have established my status as a successful man. So that's what is the reason behind. What was happening is that marketers, when they were finding out, there were many motivational cues they were getting it. So there was a kind of a confusion which one to use. That's where one of the psychologists called Maslow has defined his own theory, which is known as a Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow could derive that all these different motivation cues are linked to the nature of needs, and these needs are stacked in a hierarchical manner. Only when the base hierarchy is satisfied, consumer thinks about the next hierarchy. So here the hierarchical, this thing given is a physiological, that is the bottom, then safety, then the love and affection, then the esteem, and then the self-actualization. So in this theory, higher needs in the hierarchy begins emerge when people feel that they have sufficiently satisfied the previous need. I will give you a simple example. If I am a struggler, then my daily need is to earn something sufficient so that I can have a food, shelter for myself, a little appropriate cloth, etc. Now, if that struggle is daily, then will I ever think of things like a car and, my own house, etc.? No, I will not. Okay, but suddenly, say, looking at my work, one of the office goer whom I served, accidentally. Now he liked my attitude, behavior, etc. And he tells me, "You tomorrow come to my office. I assure you a one permanent job." So now I got a permanent job, so permanent salary. Okay. Now I am assured of certain income. Now when that comes, now you will move beyond. Now you will want maybe a chawl. I can rent a room in the chawl. Maybe I can have a scooter. Okay. But I will also have to safeguard my possessions. So I will want to have lock and key and those kind of thing. I will open a bank locker. So that's when the safety security needs becomes prominent. If I'm a struggler and continue to be struggler, this will never come in because I will never acquire enough wealth. Now suppose even that has been achieved and I am promoted. Say like 2-3 promotions have come. Now I realize that what I do is good and company recognizes me, etc. Now I'm not bothered about safety, security, etc. But I'm very successful. Does everybody know? No, I need to convey to them. So that's where the self-esteem, prestige, and feeling of accomplishment. So for that, whatever thing that you can do, you will want to do. And so I may move away from Maruti 800 to sedan. Okay, so that's where, or maybe if I have a sedan, I will move over to the luxury car, SUV, etc., or luxury car like BMW, Mercedes, etc., Audi, and all. So that's where the self-esteem comes. And then finally, I will go in a state where I think that I have achieved, what not have I achieved? Now I want to explore various possibilities within me, which is far beyond those other parameters. So that's where you are into the self-fulfillment, this thing. You will want to do things which is self-satisfying. Now you see, if marketer can understand this hierarchy, then they can find out in which hierarchy state will their product will come into consideration stage, and then they can trigger the communication which will realize consumer that he is into this state and therefore he needs to consider. So this is the power of Maslow's hierarchy of need. Now the question is, why do you need motivation research? So we have understood what is motivation, what is hierarchy of needs, which is through a Maslow's hierarchy of need, which is essentially motivation theory. Now why you need that? Now brand choices depend on not necessarily the product feature, convention, price, etc., though the thing is out here, but there is a next line which says brand choices are complex and brand connection with the consumer comes in where there is a motivational aspects lying for the consumer, something that he is aspiring to be, and if that is what the brand offers him, he wants to then have those brands. So it is true that consumers cannot tell why they chose a particular brand, but if you really study him deep, somewhere he will find hidden aspects which is to do with the motivation. Okay, I have driven, say, myself, I have driven myself with the motivation to be one with the very successful entrepreneurs of our time. So like, say, J.R.D. Tata, or say you can say, Birlas, etc. And the kind of life, the kind of values that they cherish, and that I try to imbibe, and that becomes a somewhere hidden my motivational cues to acquire or not acquire certain things. Okay, so that's what one need to understand. So very important is to understand not only the consumer need based on which you developed the product, but what is the cue that will motivate him to acquire. So this equips the marketeer with the position the brand can also win. Now once you understand this, cueing your positions around that will far more be very viable, very potent, so to say. Motivation research is a type of marketing research that attempts to explain why consumer behave the way they behave. So that's very important. What is it that is going behind that is making him behave that way? There has to be a reason. There has to be a certain motivation for that. It tries to identify reasons like, is there a cultural factor or a sociological factor or some societal factors, etc. The account planner will need to motivation research to get information on why consumer buy specific merchandise or respond to specific types of advertisement, specific advertising appeal make more sense. Those kind of aspects will come out when you do the motivational research. So we are trying to understand why motivation research is needed. Now there are deliverables that you get when you conduct motivation research. So what it brings out for you is understanding about the segment and their motivational cues, profile, brand profiles, and positioning and related analysis. When I say motivational market segments, means it gives you the perspective about what drives the youth. So it may be the funkiness, or it may be the out of the box ideas, those kind of a thing that may drive. You may come to know that their demographic led behavior, so whether rich people behave particular way or snobbishness, or they are driven by peer pressure, those kind of aspects about the segment will come out. Quantification. There was a research done which was post-COVID, which shows like 90% of the women are going to take next opportunity to complete their pending shopping. So that way it's a quantification. So those kind of aspects. So brand profile means when you say that, what are the attributes that you can tangibilize about the brand, which person will be able to visualize. Even there are intangible issues, can you tangibilize? So those aspects, what personality that one should project that will match with your target profile. Okay, so overall, any, there are emotive symbols, what drives, what is that emotional connect with the brand that you can bring. And when it comes to positioning, you have to determine which segment or the target that you are serving, for which what are the positioning cues that will work. However, that you have to study vis-a-vis the competing brand positioning that has already been established. The third point talks about the portfolio analysis. So now portfolio analysis is about, you have various brands, the same brands. So for example, Gillette uses for the razor, uses for the shaving gel, uses for the beard oil. So now you have a certain portfolios made. Every time you have to understand that portfolio is driven by which particular brand association and what is the motivational cues behind. Many times you realize that something is not working for the brand, you need a repositioning. Now repositioning, you cannot make a mistake, so you have to really do the proper motivational framework based research. Then this is also required when you are coming out with the new product or certain brand extension strategies, etc., where you have to really white space, the word is means the empty space that you have to occupy, that needs to be found out. So how do you conduct motivational research? So there are techniques like observations, there are techniques like focus group, that is second, and there are techniques like in-depth. Very briefly, observation research is like you have to observe the consumer, your target consumer, and determine his various behavioral cues. Now these observations can be either in real life situation, so you have various retailers where you will conduct, either it is through a camera that has been kept, or there may be a dummy salesman who's acting as an observer, actually he's an observer, but he stands next to the salesman or he's on the counter, and when you go and interact with, he observes things, etc. Or you can create a simulated environment where it is probably not you create a different kind of a set environment. It may be the same existing retail shop, but you want to see if particular cues are given, what is the consumer behavior. So maybe the 10-15 shops you will do it that way, another 10-15 shops you will do it with a different kind of a motivational cues out there, and then try to observe. So that's very powerful. Focus group is bringing certain people of the target audience defined together. You might have a stakeholders also, so you might try and bring a, say like if it's a focus group on a sex education for the teenage. Now you have to not only have the parents, but you will have to have the teachers, and you maybe have to have a psychologist, and then open the subject. So there's a moderator who opens the subject, allows the cross discussions. He only tries to play a role that discussion do not go too much outside the purview. And this obtained information, which is either tape recorded or videographed, is analyzed by the psychologist or a behavioral analysis. And last is the in-depth, which is a very open discussion. It no doubt has a question, but these questions do not have a limiting answers, what you probably know MCQ as. So there are close-ended questions, means you will have to, within the set given options, you have to answer, while these are open-ended. Do you think sex education among teenagers are essential today? So now anybody can give, freely open his mind. What do you foresee the dangers of offering sex education to teenagers? What are the need that triggers you, the essence of imparting a sex education today? So those are very open questions. People will express themselves freely, which is then analyzed against by specialists. So continuing to have a deeper understanding about the motivational research techniques, consumer buying behavior in this digital age also needs to be understood. Digital age, the consumer behavior is totally different. I am like a slow inductee into that. My daughter is right from day one a digital savvy. So I am very cautious, very selective, very, very thoughtful, very, very considerate. While when I observe her, very quick to decide kind of. Technology has changed the way consumers think and purchase. I still on the online try to be brand loyal, while they are my it's like just a representation, but that age people may not be like, okay, consumers have come a long way from relying on sales pitches by the people, sales story only. Now they have themselves the power to evaluate, analyze and understand. So that's why you need a proper motivational research. Some interesting facts which drives smartphone have literally become an important shopping necessity through which you do. Near me has almost taken up the space as a major keyword during Google search. people find out what I need a salon, but what is close to me. Online reviews and blogs are becoming the new source of acquiring knowledge, comparisons, ratings, etc. Even getting a feedback among the community. Consumers are convinced to buy a product if they have a proof on the social media. So they refer to ratings, reviews given by the consumers. Okay. Engaging product videos now. Simple thing like socks purchase. Now today when I go there, I do see the video also. They do a picture, but in between 5-6 pictures, there will be one short video. And then they show you in a very engaging manner how to wear, you know, how it looks on a shoes of different types. And then you decide. So that videos are an engaging medium. So going forward, motivational research technique, there is one particular concept called moments of truth. So this moment of truth was a framework which is even before the digital era. Consumer go through various moments of truth, means his encounter with the brand makes it a moment of truth. Now they are essentially divided into three separate categorization. Zero moment of truth is before shopping. So before shopping could be in shop or he's doing it online through sitting at home, etc. Now this is possible through smartphones and today's broadbands and 5G's now coming, etc. And therefore they are able to do it. But when they do it, what is that motivates them? That needs to be studied. First moment of truth is in-person shopping. So they prefer to buy shelf-based. You know, they go, they want to see it, they want to have observe the product, maybe try it and then consume it. And the second moment of truth is the one after having purchased and then experiencing it, then they realize good, bad, ugly, was the decision correct? So these are the moment of truth where there are various motivational cues available. One need to really understand. It is not that it is sufficient to understand only the zero moment of truth based, you know, motivational. You have to also understand the second moment of truth, which is when is he consuming it? What is happening to your brand? What is expecting? What is whether he felt further motivated? There are questions like, you know, will you recommend? Will you buy this again in future? Many times after you purchase a product, this kind of a question comes up to you. Idea is to see that where you stand there. So far we have done motivational and motivation cues related understanding. Now motivation leads to what? Involvement. So now we are trying to see them together. So product involvement is defined as a psychological state which motivates consumer to get more information, to get an acquisition interest, etc. about the product. And therefore, his involvement in the product increases, and depending on the brand, not only the brand, the product and the risk that is involved in it, his involvement will come. The buying a salt, buying a masalas for the house, the head of the family may not be involved. Many homes it is now laid to the the maids or that guy Maharaj who comes to do the cooking, etc. It is left on to them. But yes, if you are buying a car or you have to buy a flat or you have to buy a new laptop, your involvement will go up. So that is what it is mentioned out here. Car is shown as a high involvement, while things like pizzas, things like burger, or things like the masalas, salt, pepper, these are all low involvement item. So during the situational involvement, it is specific. So when the high involvement is coming, then you need to know what are the motivational cues. While in the low involvement products are, however, enduring in nature. They keep coming to you regularly, where you have to still understand what is making consumers to continuously use your product over the other. And is there availability of substitute? Okay, those kind of perspective you have to find out. So this is again one more example as to how the motivation and involvement relativity has changed post-COVID. Buyer's motivations can be seen on three levels, or the three types of motivation. Fear influenced buyer behavior. Here fear was the one which was motivating buyer. So that's a fear induced. Oh, if you are exposed to this, this may happen. So buy this. Okay, logic drives the buyer motivation. So then there are logic. So when say like a COVID and now influenza based viruses are attacking people, etc. What is coming out is logically your body immunity has to be strong. So you see that plethora of products started claiming that they also have one of the immunity boosting agent. So then it logically supposed to drive consumer to buy their product. And benefit driven buyer motivation. What's in it that I will get? So driving force has to be understood, which is based on what is motivating, and that motivating this thing comes out. Now this may be linked to the target segment that you have. If you suppose serving more than one target segment, it may be that in particular target segment is the fear based motivational cues, while in the other it could be the logic based motivation cues are needed. So those aspects needs to be understood. COVID crisis, we may say that is probably getting behind us, but certain changes have been perennial. Yani they probably consumer may not go back. Okay. Digital involvement has gone so strong, brand loyalty has been shaken, convenience has become more presiding factor. How are you serving client when he deals with you? That also becomes a very presiding factor, not the brand loyalty. Brand loyal may be not able to serve online commerce customers, and then they may fall apart. Flight to digital. So what a shift that has happened. People have moved to digital world, digital payment, digital online shopping, etc. Shift to values. Now people values have been changing. Okay, so in the shopping world, we are more reliant on platforms and we are less reliant on the brand, or we are less reliant on who's behind the brand, etc. When you were brand conscious, you also knew who's behind it. Now you are very platform conscious. Okay. Shock to loyalty. So what is happening is loyalty has taken a secondary significance now. Consumer wants value which can come to them even through a platform. And then what is platform promoting? That becomes a product of their choice also. Homebody economy. In the sense, normal out-of-home activities pre-pandemic has reduced. People have become more in-house. So even OTT channels and all have inflated that, disease, so to say, I will say, where we have become too in-house centric. Earlier, the moment we used to get a time, we were going out and playing Antakshari, or say playing Sankhali, playing Kho-Kho, which kids you see, which even elders going out and doing such kind of activity, volleyball, football. Nowadays, they are all glued to the television. So that has also happened. This needs to be understood as well. So we are still trying to go deep into the post-COVID changes. It has become necessary for all business to build a platform for digital transformation. So now one thing that every business have realized that they must also have a digital interactive e-commerce platform. Even those existing brands, Nivea and say HUL, they have also started their own online portal. Consumer can directly deal. The question may come, what will have their distributor retailers not protested? They have handled that part smartly. Okay, but currently that's not a purview out here, but idea is to tell you that digital platform has become critical. While it is possible that the shift backward to personal interaction may occur, okay, wherever now possible, I have again go back to being a traditional school of thought guy. I've gone back to personalized shopping, or a personal presence kind of a shopping in certain items like clothes, etc. Okay. However, many may continue to have their behavior the way they did during the COVID crisis. So that has become a kind of a permanent shift. Okay. In fact, according to the research report that this particular they are bringing out, precisely and Corinium Intelligence, 33% of the customer experienced leaders expect to shutter some stores, branches or offices as a result of the pandemic, and 25% says they expect to replace brick and mortar entirely with the digital. So one shift that is happening is say customer experience leader means they are the one who understands, and therefore what is going to happen is what they are saying is many shops and stores and the branches may have to be closed down. Or alternatively, they are saying that many brick and mortar business will shift to online. Okay, in this scenario, change in the consumer behavior, likewise, are likely to have a long-term impact. So like when this starts happening, when the consumer like me probably preferring brick and mortar, if I see that that shop is closed down in my area, I may also be compelled to go online and do the shopping. Okay, so that's where one need to understand. Now, this is a representation, a graphical representation. There is a spectrum of purchasing loyalty exhibited by consumers around the world. So now you see that in this graph, India, Indonesia, China, South Africa, US, etc., even a country on the other side, and intent to continue. Customers who have tried new shopping behavior since COVID-19. So what is the percentage of respondents? So now, having done their new shopping in India, 96% have said that they will continue with that same. So you see that largely the permanent shift has occurred. But if you go to France or Germany, where only 50% have said that they will continue with the new acquired buying behavior, while others may shift back. So this is what is a power. Marketer in that country needs to understand this shift. So going back again to the point where from where we started and we moved on to the post-pandemic is a measuring product involvement. So we started understanding motivation and involvement as a joint connect. Then we moved to the area of a post-pandemic this thing and how that has probably shifted the involvement and shifted the buying behavior. Now we come to the point where how do you determine involvement in a product and the outcome thereof. So you have to have the idea about the measuring technique, and outcome out of the survey has to be used by the account planner. So when you conduct a survey on understanding the buyer involvement, the outcome has to be part of your account planning. Now how do you do this? So there is that one approach is a questionnaire based. So you conduct a product related question, you conduct a survey among the buying behavior, etc., and then you give them certain statements. Here it is, and the person is to respond with 1 to 10, 1 being the least and the 10 being the highest. Now these questions can range from source of information, source of obtaining the goods and blah blah, and you can cover them many such aspects that will indicate to you involvement that the customer is having it. The other thing is the mean and the chain. You have to really determine through these personal interviews where you say means and end chain is to satisfy particular need. What is the mean that a consumer takes it? As a result, what is the end result that he is acquiring? Research must identify or explicitly convey the product attribute that are most important to each consumer. What is that consumer is looking into it? Interview process should design in such a way that it reveals how consumer links product attributes. So with him and his convenience or his need, so to say. And what is it that he is relating a value? So what is the value for him? That is called a laddering. So various values have various hierarchies also. So where does he place that? Now outcome that I am talking about, so what do you do out of that? So the motivation research output which lets you know the involvement of the consumer. So what answers will you get? So that what psychological need does the product fulfill? Okay, what physiological need that the product fulfill? Does the product relate to one's status, aspiration, basic necessities? What is it? And then the competitive analysis that you will be able to make out. Does the product have deep symbolic significance? Are there any symbolic cues that you can gather? There may be other outcomes like critical consumer and product relationship, the meaning of those concepts, symbiotic relationship I have already spoken. Identify the key attributes and its consequences in consumer's purchase decision. So this is how involvement-centric research and outcome thereof, when it comes out, account planner can use. So now what we are trying to do is maintaining target consumers. So now, so far, it's all about understanding and that. Now the question is maintaining. So here what it shows that account planner has to do as an account planner, it is important to understand these aspects because all these insights will be needed while creating the brief, which will lead to the proper communication. Subject is maintaining. Selling to existing client is always easier. They already know the brand, they already know the force behind, they already know the brand value, and therefore certain personality connect have happened, certain traits are appreciated, they know brand fulfills what promise, etc. Retaining loyal customers is utmost important because even loyal customers can be grabbed away by the competitor. Okay, some customers may have tried the brand once only and they may have recently stopped buying. So these are the other reasons. Customer have been loyal to some time or they have started connecting with you, but you suddenly notice that they have stopped buying from you. Consumers evolve with time and therefore relationship depends on how brand evolve their relationship with the consumer. Brand has to start symbolically conveying to consumer that brand wants to relate with you. Brand has to offer sufficient and enough reasons for consumer to be with them. That is continuity of relationship, and later brand has to do things which will strengthen the relationship, which is all loyalty oriented perspective that has to come in. Accordingly, your task and tactics will have to be shaped up. Now, account planner cannot be alienated from that. He should know exactly what marketeer is thinking, the brand or the company that is handling. He should know those aspects. He should know that aspects also from means marketeers, but also from the consumer side. So he can be proactively connecting with the client. How does account planner contribute in creating a communication to encourage existing consumers to remain with the same brand? So three things can happen. Either try to increase the buy rate or try to increase the pack size, or do some trade up. Now, what is increasing the buy rate? Now, once you realize what is the frequency of consumers shopping with you, whether it is once in a month, whether it is once in quarter, etc., can you create a motivation? Can you create a scheme which will allow them to purchase more frequently? So for that, you have to understand how can that be offered to the consumer. So like some say like earlier housewives were having a habit of pura full year grains and pulses and rice, and this thing has been filled up, treated and stocked up, while today it's month to month. You know, that is a result because certain changes they have been brought in and they are now fixed in the consumer's mind. Increasing the pack size by explaining the benefit of a larger pack. Generally, this comes to you in a refill pack, etc. You are trying to create a better value. When you originally buy, maybe you buy a big pack, a big original pack, which is a glass bottle or something, say ketchup. Now, then you also have a refill pack, which is made up of a disposable pack, okay, tetra pack or something. So you just empty your ketchup when you repurchase. The consumer will see a value. Bottle with that ketchup may be costing 150 while you are offering a refill at 120. So he will feel that it is more valuable. So now if that refill pack is available in a particular larger size, what you are doing is shifting consumer who is buying small packs to larger pack, etc. So that way, or you increase his total consumption. Every time on an average you find that he is buying 2000 rupees goods worth, how can you make it 4000, 5000? So that's what. And a trade up. Identify a group of customers who are loyal to the brand within a category. Category like home care products, hair care products, etc. But buying a lower price point products, and who would find a product within the client's premium offering a better match for their needs. So here, these are the customers who are in a way, who are used to buying your low price point item. Now, in the low price point item, your profit is also low. And okay, who will find a product within the client's premium offering a better match? Now, it is up to you to now bring it to his notice something which is better. So you make him trade up his low price, low margin product purchase vis-a-vis moderate and high margin product. Then you shift him to high price, high margin products. So that's a trade up. Retaining existing customer is the first step in the good campaign. So that account planner need to know very well. So continue to understand what is the significance of maintaining the target consumer. Here account planner has to create a communication. When he creates that, it has to cater to both heavy and light user. But of course, he has to maintain the balance. Now there is a principle called 80-20 rule, which says that there will be always 20% of the customer who will be buying your 80% of the product. So now who are they? So this 20% are identified as a heavy user. Other 80% who's just accounting for 20% of your purchase or a consumption, they are considered as a light users. So what do you do about this? So heavy consumers, every marketer expects that this is there and this ratio should be high. They probably may want 10% to buy 90% of the consumption. So that's always a inclination. These are the people who will want to be with the brand. Therefore, it is in your interest to really focus your consumers' communication towards these people. Now, there may be some light users who will get also positively driven when they continue to see that they also may want to upgrade. Hence, focusing on heavy users is beneficial both ways. However, there will be a large part of light consumers or light users who needs to be moved to heavy consumption habits. So light users tend to concentrate their purchase on smaller numbers. They are also the one, who may be brand loyal, or they are the switchers. They may be easily shifting to the other brand depending on the offer. Now the second way to convert light users to maybe heavy users is through offering them something which is making them buy things repeatedly from you. So that's what a way you tackle existing customer, existing target group, and retain a relationship with them.